This meeting is now being recorded.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Subteam Track 1, Overall Process Support and Outreach Issue, held on the 10th of January 2017. Happy New Year. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room only. So if you are only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourselves be known now? Hearing no names, I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for recording purposes, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll turn it back over to our co-chair, Sarah Bacher. Please begin.
Great. Thank you, and welcome, everyone. I hope you had a restful holiday season. So today we're going to try to get back into things and look at our work track progress status, and we've made a few adjustments. We're also going to review the feedback we've received on the clarity of application process, as well as discuss the application submission period and application queuing. And if we have time, we'll see if we can come up with some CCT2 questions and then any other business. So that is what we're looking at for our agenda today. But before we get started, if anyone has had a change to their SOIs, please raise your hand. Okay, I'm not seeing any hands, so I assume everyone is the same. Wonderful. And so then, let's see, going on to the next slide, we'll have our, let's see, our work track progress so far. I think we were probably just a little ambitious with our timeline, especially with the Hyderabad meeting sort of falling in between, pardon me, all of this. And so I think we've had some good progress, actually, on a lot of these topics, but we're just adjusting our schedule to refocus ourselves and give ourselves a little more time to discuss. Krista, did you have anything else that you wanted to add here?
No, I don't. I think maybe we just need to kind of focus and see if we can get a few topics closed so we can kind of stay on track and catch up. Thanks.
Okay, great. So as you can see, we had anticipated finishing the accreditation program by mid-December, and that still has some discussion that needs to take place. We are still, I guess, within our range for applicant support, and we'll be touching on that probably in the next few weeks. Clarity of application process, we had some really good feedback there, and I don't know that there's necessarily any policy changes. It seems like it's more process-driven, and we'll discuss that more today and hopefully maybe come to some decisions that we can circulate to the list. We also need to have some more discussions on the application fees. We'll get to that later. Same with variable fees as it's related. And today we're going to be discussing the application queuing and application submission period. It seems like these should be relatively easy topics, but I hesitate to say easy because you never know. But we'll see how we go there. And then later this month we're going to be looking at the systems and communications. And then we'll circle back around on the application guidebook, hopefully next month, getting in that next month. So that's where we are on our topics, and I'll stop here to see if anyone has any questions about these adjustments that we've made or how things are going. Okay, seeing no hands, I will turn it over to Krista to jump into our clarity of process review.
Actually, we missed one, sorry, it's Christopher for the record. One little update is on a couple of topics, which was the accreditation, as you just mentioned. So there's a new group being formed, and we're currently figuring out which parts are going to be carved out. And we should have had this done for this meeting, but we have enough on our plate. So we'll push that forward going to another meeting. And the applicant support in our big or in our team lead meeting, there's some discussion on whether a brainstorming group would be formed to come up with some ideas or some suggestions. So that's kind of where we're at right now. We just need to work on a little bit more to figure out exactly what we're going to address in this work track versus other track or other working groups. Moving right along to the clarity of application process. The goal is simply how can the application process avoid developing processes as on an as-needed basis, any clarifying question process, a change requests process, customer support, application prioritization. So I don't think we really came with any other feedback from the other meetings on what should be some policy changes that we should put forward for consensus. But we're hoping to bring this up today so that any other additions we can put forward. So if anyone has any additions or like to speak up, please raise your hand. Okay. So based on feedback from everyone, we'll put what we have currently forward and circulate it to the list, and we'll move on to the next topic. So this is one we haven't touched yet. We were expected to do so in December. It's application queuing, and the goal is pretty simple, delivered on the different application processing methodology. And it's pretty much focused on whether first come, first served guidance remains relevant or not, or whether another mechanism is more appropriate. So I can't remember. I think we posed the questions last meeting, but we didn't get the feedback from everyone. So it would be good to get some other feedback on whether we still believe first come, first served is relevant, i.e. no changes are required, or B, it could be relevant, but we need to brainstorm on other options, or C, not relevant and depends on some other factor. So if anyone has any questions or would like to raise any issues on any, especially on the items B and C, now would be the time.
Hi, Chris. So, Ruben, this is Sarah Bakke.
Perfect. Go ahead.
I just wanted to note that Ruben has made a note in the chat saying as long as we are doing rounds, it's not relevant. Changes are required at least to reflect what has already been done. And Alex has made the comment, first come, first serve would only benefit the portfolio guys with the unlimited resources.
Okay, so Jeff puts in, so everyone is comfortable with the randomization lottery that ICANN had. So I see somebody's trying to stir the pot for us. So are we okay with that, or does anyone have some other issues with that, or are we just good with option A, first come, first served? Michael, on your question, are we talking rounds? I think maybe we could address this perhaps firstly in rounds and secondly as some other method. So perhaps because we think it's currently looking like the next, say, application process is a round, are we okay with first come, first served on that? And if it is something other than a round, then what would that look like? So maybe we can break it down into two parts. But it sounds like we're okay if it is an application period that, or application round that it is first come, first served, and then some other method after that. So I guess the question would be, if there is a second method after that, if there's another method after that, what would it be, and what are we comfortable with?
We have a few more questions or comments in the chat. This is Sarah Bakke, for the record. Michael Fleming has noted that firstly in rounds, then yes, as long as we have objections, of course. And has noted, if we do rounds, I would not be comfortable with first come, first serve. I think the lottery was the only fair way to go.
Thanks, Krista, for the record. I agree with Jeff's comments, but I'm not sure what everyone else is agreeing with or no one else was awake on last night's call. So bringing that point up, are we okay with first come, first served, or are we better off with a lottery? And maybe everyone can put follow Cheryl's lead on saying yes or no to one option. So first come, first served, if you could put make a tick mark in a yes mark in your in the Adobe chat, that would be great. So simply right now, first come, first served, agree, please check now. Oh, Jeff, you have a comment. Please go ahead first.
Yeah, thanks. Just want to clarify for everyone if people are confused. This is not the determination of who gets the TLD. It's just the order in which these applications are reviewed. So I just want to make that point clear just in case there was some confusion as to that. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. Michael?
Can you hear me?
Yep. Go ahead.
I guess it's unclear to me. I don't see. I suppose if it's a first come first serve for an application period, I guess that means for that application period, for whichever application I can review first would go first if it's a first come first serve policy. Technically, right? I just have a hard time imagining how that would actually come out to play in an application period, first come, first serve. Could you maybe clarify a little bit more, please?
As Krista, for the record, my understanding, it's a submission of the application to the ICANN. And if there's more than one application, if you had one at number 5 and you had one at 2005, you have to wait till the 2005 is hit in order for the contention set to move forward. Jeff, you have your hand up.
Thanks, go ahead. Yeah, well, there's potentially two options. One is the option that you mentioned, which is that everyone, you have to wait until the last one in the contention set, or the other option, in theory, could be that everybody gets the benefit of the first one selected, and therefore, if one of them is selected as fifth, then all of them would be, all the applications for the same TLD would be evaluated at the same time or shortly around the same time as the fifth one is. But I agree with you, the way that ICANN has, the way that you would naturally do it would be evaluated the application fifth if it comes in as timestamped, and then wait until the 2000th one, that's where the next one in the contention set is, or the last one in the contention set is. So there's two ways to do it, but I agree, you should consider your way, the way you stated first.
Thanks, Jeff. Is Michael, is that confusion or a hand? We can't hear you. Okay, you're agreeing with Jeff, and it's an old hand.
Sorry, I'm doing this on the phone, and I'm so confused on how to use it. So just to read my comment.
Okay, you're with Jeff. Got it. Thank you. Alan, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Just to be clear, we're talking about the substantive processing. Obviously, processing to identify contention sets has to be done in parallel, but has to be done on all the applications before we can even consider some of the other issues. So, again, I think we need to make sure we're being clear as to exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about the processing, the substance processing, which could potentially go all the way through to delegation. I think that's the case, if someone can confirm.
Thanks, Alan. I'm just pulling up the read just so I can make sure it's extremely clear. Do you happen to have that right in front of you?
Can you say that again? I couldn't hear you.
Do you have the exact wording in front of you? Or Jeff, go ahead. Do you have a hand?
Yeah, this is, thanks. This is not on the wording, but I don't recall what's in the wording, but I agree with Alan, yes, that first what would happen was the ICANN would, they would timestamp each application as they receive it. They would wait till the end of the period. They would then group everything by contention, you know, figure out if there's contention first. And then they would start with, once they figured out the contention sets, and which are in which, they would go process, you know, they'd do the review of application one, review application two, and they would, as Trang says, they would use the priority numbers to release the initial evaluation results. But that wouldn't be necessarily processing everything, including the contention set resolution and or objections and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it would just be the priority number for initial evaluation and moving it through the process, not for – they would obviously have to have – know what the contention sets are.
Thanks, Jeff. I'm just pulling the wording on it. But I think we're pretty clear. It's going on. Evaluation selection procedure for new GTLD should respect the principles of fairness, transparency, da da da.
Hi, Krista. This is Sarah.
Go ahead.
I have an excerpt from the final report in front of me if you want me to read through that. Okay, it says application guidebook implementation and the subsequent operations did not follow the guidance in the 2007 final report that recommended first come, first serve. Recommended first-come, first-serve processing scheduling. There were a number of reasons for implementing a different processing methodology, as first-come, first-serve introduced a number of potential issues, including applicants rushing to complete applications, possibly forsaking quality, favoring applicants most familiar with the processing requirements, favoring applicants who are located closer to ICANN's servers, in creating the possibility of a self-inflicted distributed denial of service attack as applicants rush to click the submission button first. Working group may want to deliberate on a different application processing method, although care should be taken in considering the impact on other areas of the program. Working group may want to consider modifying the existing language to codify the actual implementation if the PDP working group were to agree with the implementation. If a new methodology is recommended, it may require new policy development or implementation guidance. And the question was posed, is first come, first serve still relevant? So that's the question we're trying to address. Obviously, it's not as simple as the statement. But that's a little bit of background on the rationale for the policy development and what we're trying to address. I hope that helps a little bit.
Thanks, Sarah. I think it helps a ton. So getting back, let's bring it back in circle here. So now we are dealing with first come, first served, whether it's based on a lottery system, I mean, that's the number you get is your number in the first come, first served queue, so to speak. Are we okay with that? Sorry, I'm trying to read the chat at the same time. Legality, lottery. So I think we're all kind of on the same pathway. Are we, I guess the question, maybe I'll go back to the question I posed earlier, is are we approving a first come, first served, or are we approving a lottery type system? So, I guess actually are they tied together? So is the lottery the first come, first served? Answer the question as well.
Krista, this is Sarah again. And regarding the lottery, I think I saw that Jeff had made a comment up earlier regarding the lottery and the fact that maybe he said, I think a question needs to go to staff legal to see whether they can maintain budgets to run the lottery. So I guess that would be one question that would need to be addressed before having further discussions regarding the lottery. I don't know if that is helpful or not.
That's crucial for the record. I think it would be, but maybe we can try to get some feedback from everyone while we're here, saying on whether or not we want first come, first served, yes or no, and B, whether we would prefer a lottery system, yes or no. Would that work? Alex says lottery in some system whereby geo applications with no contention get priority as they serve communities. Oh, I prefer the lottery. And Jeff is typing. Alan, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. We went away from a first come first serve to the lottery modified by the various other processes last time. And what I'm seeing in the chat is a preference for lottery, but moreover, I haven't heard a strong argument why we should revert from it back to first come, first serve, which was deemed not to work last time. I mean, we suffered through digital archery to get away from first come, first serve. I can't see the rationale for going back to it unless someone has a compelling reason why any of the issues that were seen in it last time are not issues anymore.
Thanks, Alan. Great point. Okay, so let's just make this simple. Does everyone approve the keeping with the current lottery system? Please move it to a approve or disapprove in the Adobe chat. So we have, I think, 6, 7, 8, 9 approved. If you disapprove, could you please mark that as well, too, so I know that you're actually responding to the question. Okay, so I still have, so Alan, you just suggested that you're not voting, or you're having issues with your system?
Sorry, I'm not quite at my computer at the moment.
Okay, thank you. So I have 8 approvals. I have no one disagreeing. And no one in the chat is saying, and oh, Laura, you're saying I can't figure out how to vote. Could you just say if you agree or disagree? Okay. I still have 9 approvals. Oh, okay. 10 now.
More important,
okay.
there's no X's.
Yes, thank you. So we're all okay with the going with the lottery system, and we'll put that forward to be circulated to the list. Unless, of course, we want to discuss at this point some other method if we don't do rounds. So maybe because it's already 7:30, maybe we'll make that a suggestion on the via email for anyone to suggest any alternatives in that timeline. But Jeff, I see you have your hand up. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. And Steve also does. I would just say that we again draft the question for staff to ask them whether it is still possible for them to maintain their lottery license, or what they in fact would need to do to keep their lottery license in order to be able to process this process future rounds or application windows in first come first serve. I'm sorry, in lotteries. Using myself here. And then also just to answer a point that Alexander brought up, at some point later on, if we ever decide that some categories deserve priority or not, then you could hold multiple lotteries within those categories. So if we determine, not saying that we are, but if, as Alexander states, that we are determining that geos, let's say, get priority, you would do first a lottery of geos and then the lottery of the others. And in fact, that's the way it was done in this 2012, where there was a lottery of IDN applications first, followed by a second lottery of all the other applications. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. Sorry, Steve. Go ahead.
No problem. Thanks, Krista. This is Steve from staff. And I was actually going to make the point that Jeff just made in large part, just that we staff would take the question back to ICANN Legal to determine whether or not the existing implementation from the 2012 round or something similar could be maintained in future procedures. And I would also like to mention that I think ICANN Legal would object to the continuing use of the word lottery. I don't believe, I might be mistaken, but I don't believe it's literally a lottery. I think it was more like a, I don't know. It was some other phrasing rather than a lottery, because I don't think you can actually get a license for that particular mechanism. Thanks.
Thanks. I'm still laughing at Ruben's comment on bingo. sorry, it's crucial for the record. So does anyone have any suggestions at this time on alternatives that you would like to put forward as ideas in case we're not dealing with rounds? So I'll open the floor now for this, and if not, we'll revert it to an email list. Okay, not seeing any hands, and I'm going to skip the comments are priority draw, game of chance and draw straws. So I think we'll move to the next topic. So the next topic is the application submission period. And the goal is to provide the new GPLD program continues as rounds-based. So we're going right back to the rounds question. The application submission window length was may warrant additional debate to determine if it is the proper amount of time, taking into account any other recommended changes to the program that may simplify or complicate the application submission process. So the question is the application period of 3 months the proper amount of time? Is it the concept of a fixed period of time for accepting applications the right approach? Or is there some other thing that we would like to put forward? Jeff, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. So personal opinion here, I would propose that I think 3 months is long enough for the first of the application windows, assuming that there's enough communication period before that. So there's really kind of two aspects. There was a communication period to publicize that these rounds or these application windows were opening. So I think for the first, the proposal I would make would be for the first one to do it 3 months, but then perhaps for each subsequent application window, it could be something shorter, like 60 days or even 30 days. But that would just be a suggestion. I would love to get some feedback on that.
Great. Thanks, Jeff. Does anyone have any feedback that they would like to offer? Silence. Wow. Okay, so let's break this down perhaps at this point. So assuming that there is sufficient communication period for the first of the next rounds, if that makes sense, are we okay with keeping it at 3 months? If you approve, maybe you can use the approve in the Adobe chat. Oh, Michael, I see you have your hand up. Just as I ask a question again, go ahead.
Oh, can I? Thanks. I appreciate it. I just wanted to ask, because what was the, if Jeff could maybe point out, what was the amount of time between the questions for the application period being released, or at least being, what am I saying? It's all in the applicant guidebook, so I take that back. Sorry, it's late night. Just ignore my question, and please continue.
Okay. Steve, I see you have your hand up. Go ahead.
Thanks, Krista. This is Steve Chan from staff again. I just wanted to point out that in writing the issue report for this topic, we didn't see that there was actually guidance to dictate the exact length of time for the application submission period. There's guidance on how quickly the application period should start after the final AGB, or as they called it, the request for proposal. So our understanding is there is not policy guidance related to the length of time. So if the work track wants to provide something specific, they might want to draft some language around this topic. But as I said, our understanding at this point is there is no existing specific guidance for the length of period of time. Thanks.
Thanks, Steve. Michael, is that a new hand or old hand? Old hand? Okay, so based on Steve's feedback, do we want to create the language on the length of time? And if so, are we okay with 3 months? So really going back to my... Oh, go ahead, Steve.
Sorry, this is Sarah.
Didn't mean to interrupt you, Krista. I just wanted to note that there's a few more comments in the chat. And Jeff is reiterating, he said, so again, my proposal would be a 3-month submission period for the first application window, but to have a shorter 60-day application window for subsequent application windows. And Ruben has said, preparing can be done before application window if the community needs time postponed the beginning of the application period.
Thanks, and I think that's, no, that's perfect, thank you. Sorry, it's hard for me to balance it all. And I think that's a valid point. It's just how long the submission period is. That's really what we're looking for, and I think Jeff's comment on the communication period leading up to that is what's key here. So if that period can be longer or shorter, depending on what everyone's needs are. Michael, go ahead.
Sorry. A quick question. I don't think it's very specific, but I think it's more so in what Jeff's saying about the amount of time between the how much time for preparation each individual has. But in considering the aspect of for example, applicant support, those communities or at least those countries that would be relying on applicant support or some kind of support in order to apply for the new GTLD, noting the complex language, would the 3 months be relevant in asking and in considering those parties, or do we want to address that in the applicant support area?
Hi, it's Krista for the record. I think that would be in the applicant support area because that's part of the outreach and all the build-up in that. So unless somebody thinks it should be contained within this submission period portion, I think we'll leave it to the applicant support. So in the interest of time, can we maybe get some feedback on whether we agree with writing some policy around having the first period of being 90 or 3 months and then after subsequent periods being, say, 2 months? If so, can you please put approve or disapprove in the Adobe chat? So I have 7 approvals, and Alan, your hand's raised.
Yeah, my hand is raised. I approve, but the approval is presuming that we are talking about rounds like we are right, like we did before. That is a round and then a substantive delay before the next round. We have also talked about, you know, opening a window every, 3 months, and clearly if we call that a round, then 3 months is not appropriate. Moreover, the applicant support, what happens in the applicant support group might well alter what we're doing. So I think what we're doing is presuming no other substantive changes in other areas, then this is what we're recommending, but we may have to rethink it based on the answers in either applicant support or the final decision on exactly how rounds are structured, if indeed there are rounds. Within that constraint, yes, I support it.
Great. Thanks, Alan. And I agree. So we'll work on some updating the wiki and some other documents, I guess, to ensure that it's pretty clear there. And we'll open up the email list for any other ideas around rounds and the impacts on the submission period. Okay, so I think, Sarah, if you're okay, can we move maybe to the next topic? So the next, Sarah, are you there, please? Okay, I'll move ahead. So application fees. So we've run into this one a couple times and spent some significant amount of time going through the application fees to ensure that we're quite clear on what it is that we're at and whether we're not we're comfortable with where we're at. So in December, the question came up on the methodology of the application fees. And it's just simply cost recovery. It's written all over the place, and that was the methodology in it. We're currently at a surplus around $90 million, with about $20 million related to development costs, which are based on the volume of applications. They expected 500. We got 1,900 plus or minus whatever for some that were refunded and some that weren't. And although I can't, I don't have the exact numbers and the methodology, we still have a significant overages on our calculations. So $90 million, I think, says it all. So one of the items that was brought up is, or the guidance was, it may be useful to evaluate how costing estimates compared to actual costs incurred by ICANN. Consider providing implementation guidance to be taken into account when ICANN works with the community to develop the costing methodology for subsequent procedures. So we don't have the actual methodology other than the methodology on the calculations on how the application fees were developed. So we know how they came up with the $185,000. The question is, are we okay just saying, yes, they need to go and spend some more time on making sure that the costing method is better or it's more improved over the last one to avoid the $19 million surplus? And I think the straightforward answer is yes, because I could say plus or minus 5%, it would be fine, but we're way above the plus or minus 5%. I think we're in the 20-some or 30% range. So the question is, are we okay with that, or are we requiring more substance to understand the methodology? So if anyone would like to provide their point of view on it, that would be appreciated, because I've been wrangling with this for the last month, and that would be great. Okay, so no one's commenting. So I guess the question is, oh, please, sorry, I didn't see you.
Sorry, I didn't hear if you heard, if you called me, but if you did, it's Alan. We're seeing different things in the chat. Alexander is saying it shouldn't be lowered, perhaps should be raised, which I think raises the question of what do we do with the surplus of that in that case. So I think we're hearing very different things from different people. I'm not sure we're anywhere near closure.
The only thing is that this is all supposed to be, the methodology is cost recovery. So if we're going to go down another path of it. Yeah, but so if we're not agreeing to cost recovery, then what are we putting forward? And let's not forget that ICANN is a not-for-profit, and therefore, what are we doing with the extra amount?
Since I have my hand up, I'll answer. I think it should be cost recovery, but I do think we need to address the issue of what happens if we have overruns or shortfalls, which we didn't talk about last time. And we do at this point, as you point out, have an overrun, which could be used, could be wrapped into auction funds. It could be used to pay off the surplus. It could be folded into the next round. So we have a number of options that we have to look at from that perspective.
I completely agree, and I actually raised that question before on what we do with that amount of money sitting there. I think that would probably be another working group on how to address the excess funds. So So, Sarah, can you maybe help me out with a chat? I'm having problems between both. Laura, maybe one of oh, and stuff here. Go ahead, Sarah, if you can read some of the chat.
Oh, sure. Let me scroll back up here a little bit. As Alan noted, Alexander stated the fees should not be lowered in the next round. We are inviting speculators otherwise. The good.com is much more expensive than the GTLD application fee. Rubens noted, if we are arbitrating fees, then it's not cost recovery. Phil said it's plus one, Alan, should applicants report applications go through separate process channel. Alexander said actually $50,000 would be more appropriate. Scrolling is not great. Michael Fleming, I disagree. I think cost should be lowered to a more realistic cost. More substance would help to determine a realistic fee. Jeff Newman, existing policy is cost recovery at this point. Phil Buckingham noted it should be free, funded from auction funds and round one excess profit. Michael Fleming, I think we need to set a cost analysis per TLD category. Rubens, arbitrating fees to market value could put ICANN nonprofit status in jeopardy. The Trang, whoops, my scrolling is out of control. Trang noted, one thing to note is that we have much more information based on this round than we did when we estimated the cost of the program. From a cost recovery perspective, the learnings from this round can be used to better estimate the actual costs for next round. And then we have Alexander. ICANN could do it at costs for U.S. 15K probably. We would have 20,000 applicants then. Michael Fleming, some TLD types require much less check, and the process can be much more streamlined to the cost effect, to the cost effective. Sorry, the chat is scrolling and my scrolling is jumping everywhere. then we have Justine, having a surplus is a good problem to have. For starters, can use some of this to fund application support, no? Phil, don't need a legal contingency fund, one-third, any more for round two. The Alexander, it is free. We have dot XYZ. Now, Rubens noted, Phil, dot Africa and dot Merck are showing that legal contingencies could be needed. And we, We don't yet if dot Amazon would turn into another legal battle. And there's lots of comments. Jeff agreed with Chang, also believe that having such a large contingency fund, legal fund for future rounds would be unnecessary. Rubens, size of the fund could be argued, though. Alan has noted, I think we should say we will determine the cost only after we know how many applications there are. That way we can predict costs more accurately and limit applications to only those with near infinite money. Haha, that was a joke. I think that gets us caught up on the chat. So apologies for my poor reading.
Wow.
Chat was everywhere.
Well, thanks, Sarah. It's Krista. Okay, so perhaps so last time we chatted, some discussion was made on whether we should implement cost floors and cost ceilings. And judging by the chat, maybe we should come back to that again to make sure that, A, it's not too low and it just becomes a widget bill, for lack of a better word, and a ceiling so it can't be too high. I don't think the ceiling's too much of an issue at this point, but it sounds like we're more concerned about a floor and what that range might be. So maybe we'll put that through the email list and get some feedback on there. But I guess the concern is if we're going to go down a different avenue other than cost recovery, the implications with that. And has me a little bit concerned because it's completely different from everything, and the implications are pretty big on a company with not-for-profit, although I'm sure we can figure out some methods on how excess application fees could be spent, and I'm sure that won't be too much of an issue. It can be dealt with in other working groups as well with the the words aren't coming to me. The excess from, the excess from the other ones that were in, anyways, okay. So hopefully you all know what I'm trying to say. But I guess if we could maybe use the last couple minutes to determine what, if we're not okay with cost recovery, what are we okay with? That would be great. If not, we can put it on the list. So if anyone has any suggestions, please chat and or raise it now. Alan says that Rubens, indeed, when you look at a profit made by some in the self-auctions, the cost from ICANN was never meant to indicate the value of the TLD. Michael, I thought this meeting runs for another half hour. I don't think so. No. Okay. Okay, so seeing no feedback from everyone on something other than cost recovery, I'll go back and see what other ideas we can, or we'll go back and see what other ideas we can come up with and suggest via the email list. And one other comment, which is the next slide, which is the variable fees. And that kind of goes back to your comment, Michael, on should there be a different application fee for the different types of applications? And last time on the call, there seemed to be a consensus that it should just be one fee fits all. It's a fixed fee. Are we still thinking that this is still appropriate, or would we like to revisit it at the same time as the application fees? So if anyone would like to say yes or no, Alan, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Certainly if we have different categories, which is not within our purview but is being done in parallel, and it is evident, if it is, and I have no clue whether it is evident, that the cost of processing would be substantially different between the two, then the cost recovery methodology almost forces us to have differential fees. If there's 20% difference, it doesn't, but if there's a 100% difference between the fees, then I think in good conscience we have to think about variable fees depending on the class of applications. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. I agree, or at least it would be nice to actually understand those numbers, but I'm unable to find out exactly what those are. So,
I don't think we will until we come up with a list of categories.
Yes. But even under the current categories, we don't have the difference in costs. So it's kind of one of those catch-22s. So I'm not exactly sure what we can do there. Maybe we'll revisit the category list once, that question is brought up, and we might have to circle back to it at a later time. And we never got to moving to the next subject, so I'll leave that now until we can kind of figure out some solution there. And we're kind of coming up to the end, which is the CC2 questions, which I don't know if you want to leave to the next, to an email to Sarah, or if you'd like to discuss it a little bit now, or...
Yeah, we're almost at the top of the hour. We can just circulate something to the list, put together some draft questions and see what kind of community feedback we get from our list.
Okay, great, thanks. So with a minute left, by some miracle, we'll work on circulating the information and the outcomes from today via email. As you all probably heard yesterday in the big call, we're going to be trying to be a little bit more proactive on the email list, trying to get some movement quicker through that method rather than always being on a phone call. And the next meeting is not for a few weeks, which is January 31st. And as you saw in the earlier slides, the roadmap is communication and systems along with an accreditation program and application fees. So, Sarah, if you have anything else you'd like to add. Otherwise, I think we're pretty much good to close.
I have nothing to add. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone,
thank you
for joining today. Feedback.
All right, go ahead. Thank you, everyone.
You can stop.
Thank you. Thank you. Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines.